Just put up the first part with the blank, and then we'll see if anybody can come up with the answer, and then we'll give you the answer, all right? First one, God is like, he's the real thing. If you know it, just shout it out. Coke. God is like Coke, he's the real thing. Next one, God is like, he makes the going great. Anybody know that? It's an airline. I don't even know if they're still around. Airlines change, don't they? Pan Am? Is that an old one? That's old, all right. Next one. God is like, he lights your path. This one is still around. Anybody got a guess? General Electric. God is like General Electric. He lights your path. GE. God is like, he works wonders. Boy, the advertisers are wasting their money, aren't they? God is like Bayer aspirin. He works wonders. This next one I knew, so I think somebody will get it. God is like, he cares enough to send the very best. Hallmark cards. All right, got that one. How about this one? God is like, he gets the stains out that others leave behind. No? Tide. God is like Tide. Do you notice? These are true also. God gets the stains out. No other way to get the stain of sin out. That's right. I like this next one. God is like, he holds through all kinds of weather. Hairspray, it's a hairspray. VO5 hairspray. This next one I really like. God is like, aren't you glad you know him? Don't you wish everybody did? Anybody know that one?
Dial
soap, right. How about, God is like, try him, you'll like him. I never really did understand this product advertising this way. Alka-Seltzer. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him, you'll like him. And the last one, God is like, you can't see him, but you know he's there. Scotch tape. All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, please. Those are not original, all right? Isaiah chapter 40. First of all, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And then verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lord, today we ask your blessing upon the word. Lord, this word that we preach, we hold it in high esteem and honor. We ask, Lord, that our faith in you would be increased today as we just consider some thoughts from these verses and others like them. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In both of these verses, verse 18 and verse 25, God is like no other. He's simply God. He is in a class all to himself. In verse 18, Isaiah says, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Well, there is nobody in his likeness. There is nobody to compare him to. The words liken and likeness have basically the same meaning. They both speak of that which resembles something. Isaiah is saying that no one resembles him. Nobody resembles God. The word compare is an interesting word. It literally means of putting something in a row. And so the idea is here is if you put up one and then you put another in a row and you keep putting people in that row and then you stick God there, God will be so much more than head and shoulders above everybody else. There was nobody like him. He is in a class all by himself. There is no one in his likeness. And then in verse 25, Isaiah says, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal?" Again, it's just emphasizing the fact that there is nobody on God's level. The word equal speaks of leveling something. Again, another way of saying that there is nobody on God's level. He is mightier than the mightiest. He is greater than the greatest. He is holier than the holiest. He is higher than the highest. He's on a level all of his own. He's in a class all to himself. In Isaiah 40, we see several truths about God that testify that there ain't nobody like him. So I'd like to point these out to you this morning. First of all, the honor he possesses says, ain't nobody like him. The word honor means dignity, exalted rank, or place distinction. In verses 13 and 14, Isaiah tells us that God possesses within himself an honor that no one else possesses. And so he gives us some questions to point out this unique truth about God. For we read, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding?" So Isaiah is asking, who taught God what he knows? Who counseled God in what he did? Who showed God how to do what he did? Of course, what is being implied is no one. In fact, I would say that no one taught God, or no one counseled God, or nobody instructed God. Why? It's pretty obvious. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Who was available to teach God? There was a time when only God existed. Nothing else existed. There was no one, or there was nothing but God. Yet he was all-knowing, and he is all-powerful. He was every bit as much God then as he is now. So who taught him if there was nobody to teach him? I like the way a certain black preacher explained it. He said, "God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere unto the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence. The reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing was because there was nothing on which he could stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere and caught something when there was nothing to catch and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Then standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and he struck the anvil of his omnipotence and sparks flew everywhere. He caught these sparks from the tips of his fingers and flung them into space and bedecked the heavens with stars. And nobody said a word. The reason nobody said anything was because there wasn't anybody to say anything. So God himself said, it's good." God never attended one day of school because there was no school to go to. He never had a teacher, for there was no teacher to teach. He never earned a degree because there was no degrees to earn. There was nothing but God. There was no one but God. Also, consider this question. Who would be able to teach God? Since God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing, he knows everything already, who would have the capability of teaching him? Now, I realize that man is capable of learning a lot of things, and knowledge is increasing hour by hour, not just day by day, but hour by hour. And yet Thomas Edison said, "We do not know 1/1,000,000th part of 1% about anything. We do not know what water is. We don't know what light is. We do not know what electricity is. We don't know what gravity is. We don't know anything about magnetism. We have a lot of hypotheses, but that's all." Sir Isaac Newton, after his sublime discoveries in science, said, "I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself I seem only like a boy playing upon the seashore, and diverting myself by now and then finding a pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, while the great ocean of truth lies all undiscovered before me." On one occasion, Einstein said, "We know nothing about nothing at all. Our knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of school children." The truth is that there is nobody capable of teaching God anything. Man at his highest cannot inform God, cannot reveal anything new to God, cannot teach God anything that he doesn't know or instruct God in any matter. God knows all that there is to know. He is self-intelligent. And so the honor that he possesses says, there ain't anybody like him. But the heavens he produced also tell us and testify, ain't nobody like him. Notice verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Isaiah says, you want proof about the magnificence of God? Simply look up. Look up into the heavens. The heavens have been created by God, and that testifies in itself that there is nothing like him. There is nobody like him. Isaiah reminds us that he is the creator and the originator of the heavens and the earth. And in verse 26, he tells us to look up and to consider what God has created. And when I look up and I consider that God, what God has created, I marvel at his creation. I marvel at God's creative ability and what he has created. I think of the intense immensity of the universe that surrounds us. Stretching out into a space is a marvel that staggers the human imagination. Do you know that our universe is so big that we cannot produce a scale model of our universe? The impossibility of making such a model accurately is shown by the fact that if the Earth were represented by a ball only 1 inch in diameter, the nearest star would have to be placed nearly 51,000 miles away. It's no wonder that Isaiah said, look up. The heavens declare that God has no equal and that he is in a class all to himself. A God that can create such a universe is definitely in a class all by himself, and he has no equal. But also consider the management of his creation. Notice that Isaiah said in verse 26 that God calls all the stars by name. Isaiah said, God bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. Before Christ, one man gave the number of stars as 1,022. Another, in the beginning of the second century of the Christian era, could only find 1,026. Now, astronomers know that there are over 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone, and probably billions of galaxies just like ours. Jeremiah 33:22 says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered. What is he saying? He's saying that there are so many stars that we cannot possibly number them all. And yet, the Bible says that God calls them all by name. God has named every single one of them. There are billions and billions of stars, and God calls each of them by name. God calls the stars by name, by the greatness of his might. The word might carries the idea of sovereignty. The point that Isaiah is making is that the heavens and the stars are under his control and under his management. God is taking care of this. Not only did he create his creation to begin with, but he sustains it and he keeps it going. Listen to what science has said, taking this earth of ours as an example. The earth spins on its axis like a top at the speed of 1/3 mile per second, or 1,000 miles per hour. If it were 100 miles per hour, if the earth were only spinning at 100 miles per hour, the earth would alternately freeze and burn. It goes, weaves slowly back and forth on its axes, tilting to an angle of 23 degrees, then swings slowly back twice a year. That gives us our seasons. The earth with the moon is swinging around the sun once a year at the rate of 18.5 miles per second. And it never varies. The speed is constant. It's always the same. God is managing our universe. Now, all of this has been going on for thousands of years. How do you think it has maintained such accuracy? Who do you think has kept it on such an accurate course? God not only created the universe, He maintains it as well. Isaiah said, there is no one like Him. He is without comparison. There is nobody that is His equal. He is on a plane all by Himself. There is nobody on His level. God is God. He is in a class all to Himself. The heavens testify to such. And so the honor He possesses says, ain't nobody like Him. The heavens He produced says, ain't nobody like Him. And now I want to look at the power that He provides, because the power that He provides also says, ain't anybody like Him. Beginning in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. This is the beginning of a beloved passage of Scripture to God's people. Time and time again, when we are troubled and we're tired, we turn to God and we turn to this passage of Scripture so that we can find health and strength in our journey. It tells us of a help that God provides. It tells us, first of all, that there are weaknesses that are absent with God. We read in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. How many of you would like to never grow weary? God never does. God never gets tired. He never gets worn out. After a hard day with the kids or a hard day at work, God's as fresh as ever. He never gets wore out. He's never tired. And there is no way that we can exhaust His knowledge or His understanding. No way whatsoever. The word fainteth means to become tired, wearisome from flight. The word weary means to be exhausted. God never gets tired. His strength is never exhausted. He is an all-powerful God that is always all-powerful. His power never diminishes. All that God is, God will forever be. They tell us things like, you know, the sun is burning out. But God is God, and He will never burn out. He will never lose one iota of His power or strength. He does not grow weary. But then also the weaknesses that are accustomed to man. We read in verses 29 and 30. Familiar words. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Isaiah reminds us that there are times, face it, be honest with yourselves, there are times when we grow tired, there are times when we are weary, we are exhausted from the struggles and burdens of life. We just feel like we can't take any more. If I have one more thing thrown on me, I think I'll just collapse. We are just tired from carrying around the loads that we carry, the burdens that we have, the struggles that life brings our way. He's reminding us of these things. He reminds us that there comes times in our life when we are exhausted of all ability to cope with the problems and pressures of life. We just can't do it alone. We just can't handle it alone. So He reminds us of that. There are times when you cannot do it in and of yourselves. But God never faints, never grows weary. He's never tired to the place of exhaustion. We read in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we are overwhelmed by life, God is there to help us. Listen, when you are overwhelmed by the situations in life, God is there to help you. When you are weak, let His strength pour into you. When you are exhausted, let His power and his virtue flow into your life. He's got more than what you need. He's got enough to help all of us in our journey through life. He comes to us in our lowest, and he brings us to our highest. When we stagger and stumble under the weight of life's burden, he renews our strength so that we are able to walk, that we are able to run, and yes, sometimes we are even able to soar like the eagle. Now, if you have ever been there in your life, or you have been weak and you have needed his help, you can testify to the fact that there ain't nobody like him. He's all you need. But you never know that until he's all you got. And when he's all you got, you realize that he's all you need. When no one can help you, when there is nobody that you could turn to, he wants to be there to help you. He's a God who takes a personal interest in his creation. I don't know what struggles you might have today, but I do know that if you wait on the Lord, he will renew that strength. He'll help you to run. He'll help you even to soar like the eagle. He doesn't want you fainting today. He comes alongside of you to give you strength. A little girl was saying her prayers before she went to bed. She asked God for this and that, thanked him for several things, and then said, "Amen." Then suddenly she said, "And one more thing, God. You be sure and take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we are all in a mess." Let me tell you today that the honor he possesses says, ain't nobody like him. The heavens he produced says, ain't nobody like him. And the help that he provides says, ain't nobody like him. Listen, if you need help today, why not come to him? Why not come to him that you can find help, you can find grace to meet you in your point of need? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I wonder, is there anybody here, say, "Pastor, I am feeling burdened today. I do feel weak. I would come to the Lord today, and I'm going to be asking him for strength, and I'm going to be asking him for power, and I'm going to be asking him to help me shoulder this burden that I am carrying." You know, Jesus invites us to come unto him. He invites you to lay your burdens at his feet. He invites you to come today. So is there anybody here by a raised hand? You say, "Pastor, would you pray for me?" Yes, I'm fainting today. I'm weak. Amen. 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 It's a pretty safe message like this, because always there are many people that need the Lord's help. And you that raise your hands today, you're not alone. We'd love to share that burden with you. But I also know that there's nobody that cares for you like Jesus. So would you just simply state your problem to him today? He already knows what it is anyway. And say, "Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Renew my strength. Help me to mount up with wings as eagles. Help me to run and not be weary. Help me to walk and not faint. Uphold me by your free spirit today." Father, you saw the hands that have been raised. I pray for them today, Lord. I pray that you would show yourself strong, that you would provide that help, that truly there would be testimonies that come forth that said, "Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like my Lord. I prayed to him in a time of trouble. I unburdened myself to him in a time of distress. And he was there to lift me up, give me strength, and help me to soar. We look forward to those testimonies, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Tell you, you have two wings, these two arms. I've never seen an eagle soar without spreading its wings. You don't have to today, but I would encourage you, just let your hands be raised to the Lord. There's a number of reasons why we do that. Number one, it's a sign of surrender. It's saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I surrender to you. I need your help. I also look at it, one wing might be prayer and the other wing might be praise. We need both of those in our life. There's a verse in Timothy, Paul talks about lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. However you want to look at it today, I would encourage you just to raise your hands and worship the Lord. Wait upon him this morning. Waiting on him is not just being inactive. It's not being passive. It's actively serving him. And when we do that, then we find out that he pours whatever we need into our life. So if you feel like you'd like to raise your hands today, let's do it as we sing it again.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as he goes. They shall run and not be weary. They shall
trust message has been encouraging to you today. God is the real thing. He lights your path. He works wonders. He cared enough to send his very best, his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets the stains out. He takes away the sin. He washes white as snow. He holds in all kinds of weather. No matter what the trial is, the tribulation, you'll find that Jesus Christ is faithful. And for that, aren't you glad you know him? Amen. I can't imagine for those that have no hope today. And we can't always see him, but we know he's there. And sometimes when we need it, he sends somebody with skin on even to represent himself. So I pray that the Lord will meet your need, meet you where you're at, give you strength for the days ahead, this coming week especially. Praise the Lord.